Ladies, as Laurie said, we're gonna save the ministry time to the end of our second speaker. We were going to have a person's testimony, but I'm actually going to move that because I don't want to take any more of BK's time tonight. But I want us to all stand up for a second. And if you have a piece of paper, like Laurie said, I want you to go ahead and prepare that. If you've got just a notebook or whatever you're going to write on, something that you can discard. It's not going to be something that you keep, not a piece of paper that you've got all your notes from somebody else's message. Don't take that out. But if you could have a piece of paper, I want you to have that ready, because after BK ministers, we want you to be prepared with that, okay? So can we just pray for a second, and then I'm going to bring BK up here. Let's just get in an attitude of surrender right now. Father, I pray that every woman here tonight would be completely honest with you and with us in this room tonight, Lord. Father, I pray for transparency. I pray for deep honesty. And I pray, Lord, that you would open up places in our hearts that maybe we've had closed. Lord, there are women here tonight that things happened a long time ago, and there was just a shutting down, a particular compartment that was shut down in those women's hearts. And Lord, tonight I pray that you would open those compartments. And we pray for an opening and a healing, Lord, to begin. We believe it's already begun as Lori has ministered. And we pray that you would do a total healing work tonight. But Father, we need transparency and we need honesty. And I pray for that openness tonight as we welcome our second speaker tonight. Lord, give us that heart to be completely honest with you and to be willing to bring our pain into your presence. In Jesus' name. Could we all welcome BK Jones, who with her husband is pastor of New Song Family Church in Decatur, Alabama. Thank you, BK. It's all yours.
Ma'am. Hey, keep standing just a minute. You know, in some of the greatest meetings I've ever been in happened at midnight, things began to stir. And there's something about tenacity and perseverance that causes God's attention to turn toward his people. So everything that's being said tonight is important. Everything's a setup. If you're tired, I just want you to shake around a little bit. If you got to go pee real quick and rush back. All right, because you're not going to listen to me if you got to pee. Let's just be real, right? Don't go home or you're going to miss a blessing. Lead us in that song. There's power in the name of Jesus. And we're activating his power tonight in this place because he is a mighty, mighty God. The Lord Almighty is his name. There's power in Jesus' name. I don't know what you came with tonight, but I know there's power to destroy the yoke of the devil. The word of God says, for this one purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he could demolish and destroy the works of the devil. So don't you think he's had enough time in your life, the enemy? Are you ready to pose some evictions for him? All right. Sing it, Stina.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, to break every chain. To break every chain.
Just do this when we say break every chain.
Break every chain.
Break in Jesus' name. Lord, I just thank you and I declare that every chain is breaking off your daughters tonight. In Jesus' name. Because of the power in that spoken name of Jesus.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power. In the name of Jesus.
You may not feel like they're breaking, but they are breaking in Jesus'
chain,
name.
Break every chain.
Rejection,
break every
fear,
chain.
Bondage, addiction. demons in Jesus' name. Lesbian spirits are breaking in Jesus' name. Yes, there's an army.
There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. To break every chain.
Cause there is power
in the name of Jesus.
You feel that power?
There is
power. You're getting your strength back.
In the name of Jesus.
Tonight's your night of destiny to break that chain that's been hanging on for so long.
Yeah. To break every chain.
Lord, we declare that not one chain will be left tonight. That every chain will be broken. And that your daughters will leave here free to set other people free. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Give him praise tonight like you mean it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you've met us at the late hour on many occasions.
Hallelujah.
And we meet you here tonight in full expectancy of what you're going to do in this house. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hug somebody and sit down. Amen. Amen. I never usually get my words early for anything. I'm always like at the last minute. And the Lord gave me this word like over a month ago, like not long after he asked me. I thought he's going to think I'm crazy, but I just got time. This is a miracle. I already got my word. But Lord, well, I just wonder what Jesus wants tonight, okay? We're not here to be seen or to do anything that he don't want. But we just want you to leave here free. I'm thankful for Lee Grady, who has been a Mordecai to me. I'm real thankful for Lee and Deborah because Lee does nothing without his lovely wife. I had the opportunity to know her as well, but through the past few years, just loving her. Genesis 41, verse 51. I preached on it last week. It says, Joseph, when he named his children, he named one Manasseh, and he said, God has caused me to forget. Some of you are going to forget some very horrible things tonight. By the act of your will first, you're going to forgive. And God's going to cause you to forget. And then he said in the second thing, that he named a second child Ephraim. And the meaning of that is, now I'm blank. He's caused me to forget. And he's made me prosper. He's prospered me in the area, in the land of my grief. And so, you know, whatever you've been through, however horrible it is, or how some of you say, I've never been through anything bad. Good for you. Yay. Lay hands on all of us. That's wonderful because it rains on the just and the unjust and pain comes to everybody. So in your good season, lay hands on people and pray for them. And in your bad season, look for somebody that can pray for you. But I feel like when God heals people that are sexually abused through what he's called me to do, and anywhere I go, I can preach on the old rugged cross. And that's the healing that comes. I tell my husband I could preach on anything, and that's what comes. And it's a beautiful thing to see people set free. I don't want anybody to hurt like I've hurt, do you? I don't want anybody to know that pain. In Scripture, in Genesis 31, Jacob, if you know the story of Jacob and Rachel and Leah, Jacob fell in love with a girl named Rachel. He had been run out of town as running from his brother who had offended, stolen his birthright and stolen his blessing. And so he sees this girl, Rachel, and he wants to marry Rachel. She's lovely. And it says she has a sister, Leah, and she's weak-eyed. I'd rather be lovely than weak-eyed. But I'm just hoping that's one man's opinion, right? But anyway, in my family, they call it coyote ugly. All my family's not safe, so they visit not good places from time to time. And my brothers have woken up before, and they said, I woke up with coyote ugly. I just chewed my arm off so I didn't have to disturb them. But isn't that awful, the opinion? And that, you know, What a mark on this poor woman, Leah. Right? That she was known as weak-eyed or you know, and I've been there. Have you been there and just felt ugly? Like life had dealt you some things that weren't pretty? I mean, for years and years and years, I couldn't lift my head. I would walk into a church knowing God had touched me. And honestly, if I'm honest with you, the only time my pain left was in His presence. And so I just got to God's presence every time I could. But I knew what it was like to feel weak-eyed, and I knew what it was like to feel unlovely. I would drop my head when going to the to sing or to speak or whatever when I was younger, and I would drop my head and watch the carpet until I saw the microphone pole, which used to be everywhere, and then I'd open my eyes to get it, and then I'd look back down again. But He has become my glory and the lifter of my head. So the boldness that you see didn't just come overnight. Let me just say that. My healing didn't just come overnight, but it's been a gradual process. But Jacob wanted Rachel, and so her dad said, Laban said, if you'll work for me for 7 years, I'll give you Rachel. Well, he works, and he gets Leah. He wakes up to the wrong woman, and he's not at all in love with her. And what a horrible thing to be married to somebody that's not in love with you. And he goes and demands a refund from their dad and saying, no, you've got it all wrong. This is not my woman. And he said, well, I'm sorry. There's a custom, even though I lied to you, there's a custom that says we have to marry off the weak-eyed girl first, the oldest one first. And so he's like, well, what do I have to do for Rachel? And so he worked 7 more years. So he's worked all this time. And all the time, it's so funny, although Jacob stole his birthright, and his dad still, his blessing still worked. There's something about what you pronounce over your children. There's something about your words that is so powerful. And even though he messed up and did things that were wrong and unlovely and unkind, still God wanted to use him. And still God commanded a blessing over him. And what Laban liked about him was that he brought prosperity on him. You know, your favor and your prosperity, they don't just touch you. It touches everybody around you. You know, but you have to be careful. And I feel like this is a word for somebody. You have to be careful because there are Labans in your life that will just use and abuse you for your favor and not cherish the person that you are. And so Jacob had been used. These girls had been used as a pawn in a game. And it's one thing, you know, for your daddy to use somebody else. But then when he uses you too and steals your, you know, he took back all the stuff that was supposed to be theirs. And so all of a sudden, Jacob says, we got to get out of here, ladies. These women have been at war. Leah was producing babies. Rachel wasn't producing babies. Rachel hated Leah because she had babies. Leah hated Rachel because she was pretty. And it's that old nasty competition thing that has been throughout history. What happens? I love it here because I dressed up tonight just for me, but I knew I didn't have to. I knew I could come in my ugliest clothes and you still receive me because here we're sisters. You know what I'm saying? Here we're friends. I had to wear my shoes that Miss Lane liked last year. She said, crazy old BK casting out demons in 6-inch heels. But so I wore those for me because what a wonderful mother in the faith. But so Jacob goes to his wives and he says, hey, girls, things have changed. The atmosphere has changed here. Your brothers are whispering. Your daddy's attitude has changed. And it's time for us to go. And so you know when the season's changing. You know when things are about to shift. I saw your necklace over there. You know when things are about to shift. And so you have to be ready to move when things are about to shift. It's very important that you discern the times and the season that you're in, because you can stay in a season too long and miss the good thing that God has for you in the shift. So you better get ready to shift, because I think some things are about to shift for you tonight. And the miracle was that the two wives that had been embittered and hating each other finally got one accord. It's wonderful when God's ladies get in accord, because we're the ones that cause most of trouble in church, if you'll be honest. It's the women. I counsel the women, and my husband counsels the men, and my husband never counsels, and I'm counseling all the time. Something's wrong with that picture. Maybe the men need to get honest, or maybe the women need to settle down. I don't know, but it's all good. So anyway, they agree with their husband, both of them, and they agree with one another. It's time to go. Something has shifted, and we have to go. So they begin to pack. And in Genesis 31:19, it says, at the time they left. Laban was some distance away, shearing his sheep. Laban is the father. And Rachel stole her father's household idols and took them with her. So they take them. They load up all their stuff. Nobody knows that Rachel has the household gods. She's the only one that knows. She just snuck them while everybody else was distracted. She just stuck them in there, and she just said, hey, I'll just take these with me. Now, the purpose of that, just hanging on to what's comfortable. As crazy and as ridiculous as it is, so many times we hang on to what's comfortable instead of shifting, instead of walking away. And so it's time to move on. And so here they go, and Laban catches up with them 3 days later. They've set up camp. They're, you know, getting the kids fed and everything taken care of, and they set up camp. So here comes Laban 3 days later after them. And this is what he said in verse 25. It says, Laban caught up with Jacob as he was camped in the hill country of Gilead, and he set up his camp not far from Jacob's. What do you mean by deceiving me like this? He's deceived Jacob over and over. Laban demanded, how dare you drag my daughters away like prisoners? Why did you slip away secretly? Why did you deceive me, and why didn't you say you wanted to leave? I would have given you a farewell feast with singing and music accompanied by tambourines and harps. Why didn't you let me kiss my daughters and my grandchildren and tell them goodbye? They've been living with you forever. If you wanted some sugar, you could have already gotten some. You know what I'm saying? But those toxic relationships will want just one more bit of sugar, won't they? All right. You have acted very foolishly. Verse 29, I could destroy you. I love this. I could destroy you, but the God of your father appeared to me last night and warned me, leave Jacob alone. I can understand your feeling that you must go and your intense longing for your father's home. But why have you stolen my gods? In verse 31, Jacob said, I rushed away because I was afraid. I thought you would take your daughters from me by force. But as for your gods, see if you can find them and let the person who has taken them die. And if you find anything else that belongs to you, identify it before all these relatives of ours, and I will give it back. See, Jacob had cursed the very one that he loved. He had no idea that Rachel had taken things, that she had stolen the household gods. And so here he is, ready to advance in his new season. Even the father-in-law's agreeing, it's time for y'all to go. We're going to divide things up, but you need to, you know, things have shifted, and you've got to go. So they wanted to move forward, but Rachel decided she needed this memorabilia. She wanted something. She wanted to move forward, but she wanted to look back. And if you know about Lot's wife, it's not a good thing always to look back, right? Turn into a pillar of salt. They thought she was ready to advance into a new season, but she couldn't let the junk in her life go, because God's people over and over would call on God, and God would show up big and he would show up strong, but then they would go back to what was comfortable when God didn't say, yes, honey, whatever you want. When things got hard, they'd go back to the old gods. But how many times do we return to the old vomit that God's delivered us out of because we don't like what daddy's doing? Right? And we go back and we want to pick things up. When the seasons are changing, something's got to die. You have to get rid of some things. You'll look real ignorant in December wearing a bikini in Alabama, because the season has changed. And I want you to know, spiritually, some of us look real ignorant wearing the clothes from another season, real ignorant wearing the bondage from another season. I mean, there have been times I didn't know how to get out of it, so I was dressed crazy. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't clothed in the right spiritual clothes for my healing and for my destiny. One thing I love about Miss Lane, Pastor Lane, she preached the first bold venture, I believe it was, when my daughter was there. And my daughter had to get some clothes from Uganda. God spoke to her and told her she was called to Uganda right here at Bold Venture. I think she was like 10. It was 4 years ago, right? So she was like 10 or 11, one of those years. And Lane dressed that day in her African clothes, and Allison, the Ugandan women, wanted to bless Allison and gave her some clothes, and they didn't even know that God had spoken to her and called her. And so they followed us out in the parking lot and gave her these clothes, and she said, I need to put these clothes on right now, Mama, because that lady said I got to dress where I'm going. not where I'm at. And so she had to go ahead and put on her Ugandan clothes. And it was so crazy after God spoke to her and called her right here. It's important that we bring our daughters. I could just spank mine for not coming this time. I called her last night and said, you're going to be there next year. I don't care if you're going to see anybody at the pole. You're going to be at Little Bowlventure. We may have to change it so it's not at see you at the pole day. But anyway, she wanted to dress for where she was going, not for where she'd been, not for where she was at. Her mind was set. After that, we would go in stores and she would hear the Ugandan accent and know and say, Mama, those people are from Uganda. And I say, no, they're not. She said, yes, they are. And I go over and say, where are you from? And they say, Uganda. And I'll be like, okay. But certain things, mindsets, habits, all that type of stuff have to be released to advance to the new season God's calling you. You have to release to embrace. I love to hug women of God. I've survived on the women of God in God's church. When my life was broken and in pain, if I could just get to my pastor's wife, if I could just get to Dottie Rambo, this singer that would tolerate me just clinging to her during her breaks while she was signing autographs on her records, if I could get to someone with the anointing and I could embrace them, part of me would be healed. So don't turn away those little stinky girls, the ones that don't know proper hygiene and the ones that may be a little annoying. I want you to just think about that the next time you want to just scoot somebody on. That was me. I didn't know how to do those things. I didn't have a mother, and so it was the women of the church that helped me and helped raise me. Literally didn't have feminine protection. And at school, people would make fun of me because I smelled bad, and they had no idea the hell that we were going through at home, no idea that nobody even thought about that. That's probably the only thing I've ever stolen when I went in some women of God's houses. I might stash a little feminine protection just to get me through the week. I'm not lying to you, but you don't think about that. There are kids all around you, people that are truly hurting. You know, nobody wants to go around unclean. Nobody wants to go around with an issue all over their self going, can you imagine going to junior high like that? I'm just being real with you. That was me. That was me, and a lot of people didn't want to deal with me. A lot of people didn't have time for me. A lot of people didn't have the extra $3 to help me out every month. But in all of that, God still embraced me, and he still loved me. And it could have all stopped there, because constantly the enemy just pushed it down, just knock you down. Be the last one to be picked up from school. If anybody came, and if nobody came, just start calling numbers until you got somebody that cared enough. How devastating it is, Alicia, was it, talking about people not having time. You know they're there, but they just won't answer. And you really need help. That's our job as the women of God. As women in the church is to stop and not overlook the need, but stop and see the need. That's the new season God has taken us to, where the church will be the provider for the broken. Our welfare system is breaking down. I didn't plan on saying that, but it's the truth. Our welfare system is breaking down. Our society is breaking down. And this is a perfect opportunity for the church to arise. But we have to embrace this new season. We can't say that's somebody else's job. It is now our job to do the work of the ministry. It's always been our job. But you have to release to embrace. I can't hug the sex pastor while I'm hugging Deborah. You know what I'm saying? I can't give her a good hug. And I appreciate what she said. I'm glad somebody talked positively about church, about sex and church. You know why? You needed to hear that today. Because it can really mess up a honeymoon if all you've ever heard was bad. You know, there's a book by Dr. Dobson, The Act of Marriage. And if you're having sex, if you're having marital under the covering of marriage, if you're having trouble with that, if you'll buy that book, it'll help you out. And, you know, that's an important part to marriage. If that's good, it's 5% of the marriage. If that's bad, it's 95% of the marriage. So that was just a good word. But in order to embrace Susie, if I'm hugging Deborah, I've got to take my hands off of Deborah and embrace Susie. And that's representative of the new season.
I can't hold on. Rachel was holding on. She was holding on to her pain, to her agony, even though she was the pretty one. You know, I've met with more pretty people that are so messed up because people just saw pretty and didn't see beyond pretty. Some of you pretty people need to get healed and set free today. A lot of pretty people are abused. A lot of pretty people are called names when really they're just like all of us. I love it here that we have that common bound. So you have to release to embrace the new thing. And Rachel was struggling with that. Change is not comfortable, but it's necessary for progression. I hate change. I just always wanted a nice home in a nice place. I just wanted a man that loved me. And I have all that and thankful for that. But when God is stretching us and moving us to a new season, it's hard for me because I had it so hard that good enough just became good enough. And you got to be careful not to get locked in to just good enough. So to move from ordinary to extraordinary, you have to leave some things behind. Just when Jesus called the disciples, it says immediately they left their nets. Immediately things have to change for some of you. Immediately you have to make some decisions that no longer will you stay bound, that no longer will you hold on to the false gods of the past. No longer will you hold on to the prison door. Some of you, I'm going to tell you this is sad, but in a group of women like this, some of you love your pain. You rehearse it all the time. You're so proud to tell people about it. You know, if you want to keep it, but there's a better way. There's a better way. You don't have to be a victim. Some of you just can't wait to tell somebody. I never like to tell my story. Lee Grady's the one that made me tell. He's just kept edging me, right? But I'm thankful for that because it set me free. Rachel was favored in looks. She was favored in love. But she was still stashing things. She still had a lot of junk in her trunk. She still had a lot of issues that she was refusing to deal with because she knew that God was the God of Jacob, but clearly she didn't know that he could be the God of her. You know? Sometimes we tag on to other people's gods because we don't think God would love us enough. For many, many years, it was so much easier for me to pray for somebody else than to pray for myself because I knew God loved everybody else. But my pain caused me to wonder, did he really love me? And so we had to open our arms to receive what God's doing because hidden things will trap you. I can be really funny by my own admission. My husband doesn't think I'm so funny, but some people do. But anyway, I really appreciate, and I remember the first time my pain being addressed, I was just keeping everybody busy and laughing and joking, and I was running a little comedy show. I was Johnny Carson Live, if you're that old to remember who that was. And some people got up and left the table, and this one youth pastor guy, Tim Hogg in Atlanta, Georgia, he's a pastor now. He looked at me. I didn't even realize he had been part of my past. He was went to our church when my mom was sick and stuff. I didn't even recognize him. But he told me, he said, when will you quit keeping everybody so busy that they don't get to know you? He said, you're real funny, and you keep everybody laughing so nobody will address you. He said, what about the pain inside of you? That's not so funny. And clearly, Rachel had pain inside of her. And clearly, it wasn't getting addressed, and she didn't know what to do. So she just kept hiding things. And the enemy dwells in darkness. And see, the good thing about the accountability here is when you bring things to light, people are going to probably check on you. I'm just going to warn you, it's happened to me. They're going to check on you. They're going to ask you how you're doing. And you need that. You need somebody to hold you accountable. You can stay stuck in a season forever if nobody calls you higher. And I call you higher tonight in Jesus' name. There's a plane above where you're living. There's a purpose above your pain. And if you'll get through this and allow the Holy Spirit to come and break open your prison walls tonight and set you free, I know you see that you think nobody has the key, that nobody can get you out of your cage, but the Holy Spirit is here with liberating power, and he holds the key. I don't care how long you've suffered. I don't care how long you've been in bondage. I don't care if it's your fault, his fault, whoever's fault. The key. He has the key. He's given the church the keys. I have the key today. All power was given to me. When he gave it to the church, he gave it to me. When he gave it to the church, he gave it to every woman in here. You have the key. You look really silly holding it from the inside of the prison that you live in. There's a key. There's power in Jesus' name. Demons have to flee in Jesus' name. You've allowed strongholds to dwell in your life like Rachel did. She chose to be bitter. And bitterness brought her much pain. She chose to hang on to the past. She made choices like that. And some of us do in ignorance, and some of us do in just pure stubbornness. My unforgiveness, I just held on to it because, by golly, they just deserved it. And that was my trophy. You will never. I remember walking out of my mama's funeral. She was 34 years old when she died. I remember walking out of that funeral saying, nobody will hurt B.K. Smith like this again. I can promise you that. 10 years old, I made that inside, that inner oath. Nobody will ever hurt me like this again. I will love no other person this much. Because your sin is more than just about you. See, Rachel's sin, whatever you don't deal with, it'll haunt you. Rachel knew when Laban came looking for those false gods, she knew it haunted her because she knew she had it. And she knew Jacob loved her. And she knew that if they were found, he was going to have to kill her. But she still just put it in her trunk. Along with all the unforgiveness, along with all the pain, she just stashed it in her trunk. And her trunk just kept getting fuller and fuller and fuller. God's dealing with you. You know, you're going to cry. Some of you are going to cry. Some of you are going to scream. Some of you might throw up tonight, but you're going to be free in Jesus' name. Because I hadn't been through what I've gone through. The Lord hasn't taken any of us there to leave anybody else abandoned in their prison cell. Amen. So it haunted her. Is he going to find it? Is he going to find it? So just to make the story a little bit shorter. So Laban began to search the tents as Jacob told him he could. And Rachel began to get nervous. So while he was checking one tent, she went and got her false gods. And she set them, put them in her saddle, her trunk. Her that day, ancient day trunk, was a saddlebag, right? And she sat on it. And so when he came to her, she said, oh, my Lord, my sweet father, I don't know why you come here. But I have started my period. And so I cannot get up. Please forgive me as I sit on my blessed assurance. And enjoy the discomfort of these false gods of yours. But as uncomfortable as it is, we'll still be willing so many times to sit on it. And a lot of things that happened to Rachel, and she was desperate. She was messed up, and everything was haunting her, and she was making all kind of excuses for her junk. I'm just grouchy. I got PMS. You're just grouchy because you have junk in your trunk. You're angry, and you're blowing up on people because you have junk in your trunk. You hear me? You're not having sex with your husband, not because you got a headache, but because you have junk in your trunk. You're supposed to be having a marital relationship with that man. You hear me? Unless you're praying and fasting. And Rachel, because of her sin of hiding the false gods, she didn't just hold up herself. There were at least two generations of people sitting there on hold for her to come clean of her sin. And I want to tell you something. It's not just you that you're hindering. It's not just you that you're binding up. Those that are mothers in the house of God that are holding on to junk and just suppressing junk and you don't want to get real with anybody. I went to college, to the college of one of the greatest evangelists in the world. And what he said was, who could I have told when I sinned? If you think you're that big, you're just a little bit too big for God. I remember that day making an inner vow, and it was a good one, that I'll never be without some kind of accountability. I'm going to tell people my stuff. So you don't have to be that way. There are people here that you can trust. There are probably some you can't. Pay attention. I don't want to be everybody's friend. Just be real with you. If you want to hold on to your junk, I'm not your mother. If you want to stash it,
go around just clanging with all your junk in the trunk. You know what I'm saying? My husband hates, I can't rock this very good, but my husband hates it when I leave things in the trunk. You know, the proverbial bottle. And it just says, he's like, babe, what's in the trunk? I know, well, that Gatorades were on sale. 69 cents at Kroger's, honey. But I came to him with so much drunk in my trunk, and he had so much in his. And it haunted me. I was so scared people would find out. So scared to the point I remember when I married him, sitting, and I was at home by myself, and we were singles pastors, which was crazy to put brand new married people over singles. But we were singles pastors, and I went to put some towels up. It was late at night. He was at night class. And the devil said, really? I was kneeling down. Our towels went in this drawer in the hallway. It's a really old house. And I was kneeling down, putting towels away. And I felt the breath of Satan on my neck. That's happened 2 times in my life. And he said to me, who do you think you are? Thinking you could be a pastor's wife. You're a joke. When everybody finds out who you are, what you come from, all the junk in your trunk, what are they going to do? And he said to me so clearly, and I knew his voice, I knew exactly who it was. He said to me so clearly, you'll embarrass him the rest of your life. Under my towels was a 38 special that all Southern girls have. And I lifted the towel to shuffle the other towels, and there was the gun. And he said, just end it. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I might kill a lot of people, but I'm not that much into killing me. But the enemy would just taunt me with that. You know what I'm saying? I might hurt somebody that's coming after me, but that had never been in my thoughts. You know, I guess there have been times when life seemed hopeless, but you know, but just that embarrassment, the enemy, just that threat, because he was haunting me because I had never exposed it to God's light. I'd never shared it with people. I didn't know who I could trust with information. So it was haunting me and it was hindering me. And the truth is, it was paralyzing me in a season of life that was cold and dark and lonely and miserable. And even though my body had moved to a new season, my mind was still paralyzed in the old season. And I was still not trusting God with those issues. My home people better keep your mouth shut about this. Don't spread this at home. No kidding. They will. They're good. But I was paralyzed in the season. And Rachel was paralyzed in a season of grief. And even though God was giving her kids and fulfilling promises, she just didn't. There's no record of her letting go until Jacob finally realizes that there's false gods and he collects them. And shortly after that, Rachel's having a baby, and she dies, and there's no evidence that she ever unloaded her trunk. Leah got his full attention, more than likely. Everything that she feared came on her because she couldn't let go of the junk in her trunk. It was still rattling. It was still shaking. It was still annoying. I want to say to some of you that your husbands are saying, honey, there's something wrong. It's not okay the way you talk to me. You think, does that sound familiar? Like, am I saying that like it sounds familiar to me? Because it does. We take it out on the people that are closest to us. And they take out their pain on us. But there's healing. I don't want you to be paralyzed in a season. The truth is that some of you may choose next year to come back and still be paralyzed in your season. And that would be an awful waste of $75. Be an awful waste of a plane ticket when freedom awaits you. At any time, Rachel could have laid it down, but she let it kill her. She let it paralyze her in inactivity
emotionally. Some of you are paralyzed. I want to tell you some things happened to us about 10 years ago, and I'm still just shaking off the baggage from that. And I just realized in the last couple of months, the things, as God started giving me this word, that I was paralyzed. Still parts of me were paralyzed in a season. I quit giving my heart away so freely. I watched everybody, and they were guilty until proven innocent. You know, it shouldn't be that in the body of Christ. You deserve better. Everybody, not just you, but generations are paying for your pain you won't let go. Generations are paying for your unforgiveness. Let me tell you something. They may deserve your unforgiveness, but you don't have the right to hold it. I've had to forgive the hardest of things, I believe. If it gets any harder, I want to check on out. The most beautiful thing that you ever did for me was when at that Holiday Inn hotel, you stood before the women and you apologized on behalf of their offenders. I do that everywhere I preach. Everywhere I preach. Because that day, when somebody said, I'm sorry, when somebody took responsibility, you know what? There's a lot of people that are just too weak to do it, honey. They just can't do it. So on behalf of your offenders, those people who have haunted you, who have hindered you, who have paralyzed you in a season of life, I want to say we're sorry. We're all sorry. And we recognize that the pain happened. I asked God, I said, where were you? Where were you? It's the only time in my life I ever threw my fist at him. And I will tell you, I did cuss. Like, I served you all these years for this? Really? Really? But when my brother cared enough to apologize on behalf of a man that was too weak to do it, I decided to accept his apology. You know what God told me later on when I was sane enough to receive it? He said, I'll tell you where I was. I was right there. Every second begging them to stop. See, people have a free will. And sin has some reign on this earth. And so you're wondering, where was God? He was right there begging them to stop. Begging them to stop. And they went against him. It wasn't that you were unlovely or that anything was wrong with you. It was just sin that came against you. If you had a 2-carat diamond today, if you put it on the hand of Lord Hananiah, it would be a danger to him. He would think, oh, shiny, I'm going to eat this. Right? But if you put it on the hand of a sweet little girl in my small group that's found her mate and knows that she's found the will of God for her, if you put that 2-carat ring on her finger, you're going to get a lot of different response. And I want to tell you, the only difference is that he doesn't have the wisdom yet to know the value of what's been placed in his hand. And so on behalf of all the people that didn't know the value of you, I'm sorry. And for those that abused you and took you for granted, I'm so sorry. And God is sorry. And he saw your pain. And he's provided healing for it. In Jesus' name. And you don't have to live angry. Let me save you some years. It would be my goal in life to save you some pain. And just begin to forgive. I got so hung by unforgiveness that now I just say, I choose to forgive. As soon as the offense happens, whether I feel it or I don't, I just go ahead. Because I'm not going back to that prison. You hear me? Would you stand with me? Some of you would touched a nerve tonight. See, now if you would do that break every chain again. If it was the other speaker or myself, really it's just the Holy Spirit. You say, why don't these people get off of this? It's just the Holy Spirit wanting you to be free. You deserve to be free. My favorite part of the movie, The Help, is not you as kind, you as smart, you as important. But my favorite part of it is, aren't you tired, Miss Millie? Aren't you tired? Millie was an angry woman. She was judging everybody, being mean to everybody because of her pain. Oh, she had found herself in good position, but she was a broken woman. And finally, the help had the audacity to get in her face and say, "Aren't you tired, Miss Millie? Aren't you tired? You're a godless woman, Miss Millie." They just confronted her pain. "You're broken. I want to say to you, aren't you tired, honey? Aren't you tired? Aren't you tired? The good news is you are not a woman without God. You're just a woman that needs a bigger dose of Him." If you want to lay down your burdens today, I don't tell you, we don't want to, I'm just going to tell you, here's me. I'm not praying for anybody with sunglasses on that's still hiding anything. Learned that the hard way. And I don't want to pray for anybody that's not tired of it. I don't want to pray for anybody that wants to pick it up Monday morning. I want to pray for people that say, "If I start to pick it up Monday morning, I'm going to call you. And you're going to help me lay it down again." Because what you do is you just choose to forgive until you forget. Are you ready to forgive? If you have unforgiveness in your heart, would you just raise your hand? You know you do. Let's just be real. We don't even have to close our eyes. Lord, I just thank you. You ready to lay it down? You ready to lay it down? Say, "Unforgiveness, I'm breaking your chain off of me today. Because Jesus gave me the key." Is this all right? Jesus gave me the key. And today I unlock the chain on my neck. And I'm going to run free for the very first time. Everything connected with unforgiveness, if you want to be free, pray this with me. Everything connected with unforgiveness that has attached itself to me, I break your power over me in Jesus' name. How many of you struggle with fear and anxiety? It's a huge deal, anxiety. You don't think it's a huge deal until you can't breathe and you have an elephant sitting on your chest and you think you're dying. I speak to that spirit of fear in you in Jesus' name. And I want you to tell it, "Fear, you have to go." In Jesus' name. All fear and everything that's attached itself to me through fear has to go in Jesus' name. I'm going to invite the leaders up here. I want you to join me, ladies and gentlemen, full of the presence of God. And I want you to open your eyes and look us straight in the eyes. You find a leader to look straight in the eyes. And if you really are tired, aren't you tired of living on a chain? Aren't you tired of your bondage? If you really are tired, I want you to look us in the eye. And some of you are just going to need to come forward. But I agree with you, and each one of us do, ladies, put your hands out toward them. And we break the power of fear and anxiety over your life in Jesus' name. You will be nobody's prisoner in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I curse the offense. I curse the effects of it in Jesus' name. And you're going to be brought out of darkness into marvelous light. The hidden thing is come to light in Jesus' name. You're going to let it go. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Today's your day, baby. We're so sorry for your pain. This was for you, wasn't it? I want you to take a deep breath and let it go. What's your name? Melissa, look at me. In Jesus' name, I curse everything that's cursed you. I curse the very voices, look at me, that have heckled you. And I curse that video that plays in your head over and over and over and over. You ready to let it go? And I'm pulling that pain out of you by the power and the authority of Jesus. That death and destruction that has tried to entangle you, we cancel its assignment over you in Jesus' name. Let it go. Tell it to go. Go in Jesus' name. Take a deep breath. Big cleansing breath. Each one of you, take a deep breath. Nadine, you may need to work with her. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Death and destruction. A spirit of suicide. If you got that, you need to get up here in Jesus' name. If you're struggling with not wanting to live, it's time to get real. In Jesus' name. If you struggle with sexual abuse, today is your day. Hey, I'm the speaker. And it's touched us. 1 out of 4. That's just the people that got recorded. Everywhere I go. We want sexual abuse to be broken off of you and all the effects of it. If that's you, raise your hand and come on forward. You're going to need some unwrapping. See, there are some things that God created the body to join together, and there's power. If you need prayer for anything, any of the things we mentioned tonight, bitterness, pain, self-destructive thoughts, cutting, all those effects from pain, we break it off of you in Jesus' name. Claudette, I'm going to invite you to join us because you're a woman of God, and you can support me or you can pray over somebody yourself in Jesus' name. I'm going to put down the microphone. Hold on.
Break every chain.
Okay.
Break every chain.
If you guys can make a, if you ladies can make a line where people can get through if you don't want prayer. Man, I'm going to tell you, some of you are sitting in your seat. Don't die in your pain. Don't be like Rachel and miss your promised land. God's here for you today, and there's healing in Jesus' name.
There is
in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
In the name of Jesus, to break every chain, 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 to break every chain.